This is the best of BYU Sports Nation. Interviews and insight from this week in Cougar sports. Every Saturday, only on BYU Radio. To lead off, here's the double coverage interview of the week.
A kid named Gifford Nielsen that was playing both football and basketball.
Gifford, he was a senior my freshman year. He took me under his wing.
We haven't even got to how good we can be, you know.
I need KYU to be over here.
I'm thrilled to formally welcome our new head coach, Kevin Young.
We are live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. We are discussing BYU men's basketball and football at length in that opening topic. And turn our attention now to NIL and the future of college athletics, and do so by rewinding to an interview that Jerem and I had with Gifford Nielsen, College Football Hall of Fame quarterback, Emeritus 70.
Elder.
And frankly, one of Jim McMahon's closest friends at BYU. So fun to watch those two interact on that ship. Here is Gifford Nielsen on BYU Sports Nation.
It is always a pleasure to have Elder S. Gifford Nielsen with us on BYU Sports Nation, and certainly to be here with you on the cruise. And I want to point out, we just discovered something recently with our friend Jamal Willis called statistics inflation. Okay? So if you were playing at the time of Ty Detmer or after that, safe to say you would have thrown for, 5,000 yards a year?
Well, my statistical analysis of that is absolutely, of course, in fewer games. You know, it's interesting. The older you get, the better you were. And so I can't remember throwing any incompletions, only touchdown passes, no interceptions. And we won every game. Those teams in the mid-70s, we never lost.
Incredible.
That's what happens the older you get when you start telling stories to your grandchildren and things like that. Now, it's so fun to be here on this cruise with everyone. And you can
Island Day.
Yeah, it's like Island Night. And you guys really did well with your island.
Yeah, we got into it.
I was earlier today.
Yeah. Award-winning Jerem and Spencer.
can't get their wardrobe right.
Spilled Jell-O on my shirt. I changed my shirt.
Yeah, we learned a long time ago there are no excuses. So, no excuses. Yeah.
Fair enough. So extreme accountability.
It's nice to be with all of you, and it's nice to be on this cruise with all of these Cougar-loving fans and to have the athletes, to have Kalani here. So it's great to share these experiences that we've had over the years together once again. So it's nice.
You had a lengthy pro career, of course, but the time spent at BYU is so short for so many of these athletes. Yet it means so much to so many people. At what point in your life did you realize, oh, wow, what I did during that time in Provo will last forever for a lot of people?
Well, that's what has happened. You don't realize it at the time when you're playing. As a young player, you just want to go out and perform. You get your coaches together and they give you a game plan and you just go out and try to carry out that game plan. And you don't really realize the significance of the impact that it has later on in your life. And so, you know, when we started, Lavelle was just a young coach. He finally put me in, and now he's got a stadium named after him. You know, it's like I kept telling him that, and you know, he's got his comeback. I took a slow quarterback and I made him an All-American. So we always had our little jokes going back and forth. But at that time, we were establishing something that we had no idea would get this big, but it has gotten this big. And I don't know if I've ever seen a time where the momentum of what is happening, playing football, basketball, track and field, volleyball, soccer. I mean, it's just amazing what is happening at Brigham Young University and the quality of athletes that want to come here to perform and to do what they do best, hoping for that dream of maybe going to the professional level, no matter what sport it's in. It's really incredible what's going on right here.
No question, the trajectory of BYU athletics clearly on the rise. And you have a unique perspective because you've served in some prominent positions as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, have traveled the world. You understand this interesting meld of faith and athletics at BYU better than most. So from your standpoint, what are you seeing that is working so well to make BYU a place for everyone and also a place that is welcoming to people of all faiths and all backdrops that is certainly helping the athletics department go to another level.
So I'm seeing a lot of unity. And it doesn't matter if you believe exactly the way members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believe. I mean, we saw a perfect example this year with Yegor. I mean, he comes here, he has no idea what BYU is all about. And he comes here and he absolutely loves the environment. He loves being taught. He loves to go to school. He loves 17,000 fans screaming at the top of their lungs for their Cougars in the most appropriate way. And so how can you not like that? And I think that's, I think we're getting really good at teaching that this is a very unique place. It's a place where you can come and you can be yourself. You have you have rules that you live by.
Structure, yeah.
But all of those rules are very positive rules. If I were a parent and I had an all-star kid and I saw what BYU represented and the support that you get not only in Provo but around the world, I want my kid to go there. And I want my kid to do very well. And that's what's happening right now. We're seeing it. We have quality coaches. We've got, you know, Tom has just done a fabulous job as the athletic director, and he will be missed, but he made his mark here in a very unique way. But he kept this thing going through independence and now in, even into the Big 12. Very impressive to see what he has put together and the foundation he has created for these athletic teams to continue to be more well-respected and revered in the NCAA scope of things, whatever sport it is. When you come to play BYU, we hope that everybody that comes here is going to see one of the most incredible things they've ever seen and know that they are in the battle for their lives because we want to win, but we want to win respectfully, professionally, and continue to do it the right way.
And you got to win to be relevant. If you do all these great things but you don't win, no one really knows or cares. Right now, BYU's winning, which is great. Been a lot of commentary the last kind of week or two relative to NIL and the church and whatnot. I thought there's been great commentary. The one that stuck out to me the most was Travis Hansen saying, we're about a transformational experience, not a transactional experience relative to NIL and the role of the church. And they don't give funds to BYU. They've got to earn that through TV revenue and sales and so on and so forth. Yet, BYU is able to get guys with extreme talent to come to BYU now that represent something greater and are great fits. What are you seeing with kind of what's happening, especially on the basketball side right now?
Well, let me just talk a little bit about NIL just for a second, because I don't think a lot of people really understand what's happening. BYU is always going to play within the constraints of the NCAA guidelines. We're not going to go buy teams. I keep hearing that. BYU's buying. We're not going to do that. We don't do that. We don't have to do that. What we offer an opportunity for a young player to come here and to refine himself in so many different ways, not just athletics, but you're going to get an unbelievable educational experience. And if you don't get it, Yegor said he's coming back to get his degree.
How fantastic is that?
Yeah. You know, I just think this is what we offer. We're not going to do the things that we're being accused of doing. And I think that we need to do a better job of telling people that we don't use tithing money for NIL. We're not ever going to do that. We're going to live within the constraints of what the NCAA rules are and how they're all put together and do it in a professional and respectful way. We have coaches that are understanding that right now. We've got athletic administrators that are understanding that right now. But we're going to go out and try and win. We're going to be competitive. We're not going to tell our players, go out on the field and just don't do your best. What we're going to do is we're always going to put forth our best, but we're always going to do it in a respectful and professional way.
How do you perceive, because I feel strongly about this, that a guy like Kevin Young comes in and athletes gravitate to him because he is no nonsense, but has this unique ability to counsel, to instruct, to make you better, to love. But he's not afraid to have hard conversations, but he does so tactfully. And guys in the NBA and the collegiate levels just seem to like that. And I keep hearing from several people, players' families, that Kevin's just got this secret sauce about him. There's something that guys want to play for a coach like that. And so when people start throwing out, well, BYU is just buying teams, I believe with all my heart that Kevin Young and his staff, like, they have gotten boosters to maybe help out and add more because he is the missing ingredient.
A guy like him.
They believe in him. And to your point, now BYU can play within the rules. It's okay. Like, they are competing that way, but he is the secret sauce. How do you see that?
I agree with you, Spencer, when you ask that question, because if you just watch Kevin Young during the course of a basketball game, does he ever yell at the officials? Have you ever seen him really yell at an official?
He didn't get a single tech, by the way.
No. What he does is he goes up and he puts his arm around him and he just kind of whispers to him and has a conversation with them. I didn't like the way that our guy was pushed underneath. Will you please watch that next time? It's just, it's one of the best things that I've seen with a college coach. He's just, and you can tell that these officials respect him. He's not going to go after them, but he will have his opinion about what is happening on the court. And consequently, the players see that, and the players want to play for someone like that. If they feel like, and especially with the way he's put his staff together and everything surrounding that staff, these players feel like that they're in a little mini NBA situation.
We call it NBA boot camp.
Provo.
Hey, it's a great way to put it, Provo. And so they come in here and they know that if they've got the ability and they've got the tools, they are going to continue to excel. Richie is a perfect example of that. Where was Richie? Richie's always been a hard player. He's always been an inspiration to us all with how, with the high motor that he's got. But he has really increased his skill level. And if players stay here and stick it out, Kevin Young and his staff will get the most out of those players. I also want to say this about Kalani. Kalani is doing the same thing with Aaron and with Jay Hill and with the entire coaching staff. You come to BYU and play, you're going to have a chance if you work hard enough to play at the next level.
Amen.
Because Kalani had to figure it out. Kevin's been in it, right? But Kalani has figured it out and has done just a masterful job putting together his team to take players to another level, and that's why you're seeing a lot of players want to come here.
Juxtapose that with the presentation in the 70s. What was that like at Cougar Stadium?
Wow, we were just trying to survive, you know. We were trying to make this thing happen. But you know what, Jeremy, it's kind of interesting because this was the genius of Lavelle. He knew he had to do something. In his mind, he knew what he wanted to do. Wasn't sure how to get it, and then he hires Doug Scoville after having a meeting with Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh says, if you can hire Doug Scoville, you can have what you want, but you can't hire him because BYU doesn't pay well enough. To Lavelle's genius, he was able to get Doug here, and everything changed. Mm.
The legendary Elder S. Gifford Nielsen, so great to have you with us cruising with the Cougs. I know you had a rusted out 67. You deserved a brand new 74 Corvette Stingray for what it's worth.
Hey, I can just say this. You know, when we started this thing way back when, there was a dream that something like this could happen. And now we're seeing the fulfillment of that. That's pretty special.
Outstanding. Thank you for the time. So great to talk with you.
You bet.
Powerful statement.
Great stuff with Gif. That was awesome. If you missed any of our interviews with guests like Jim McMahon, Jim Fredette, Kalani Sitake, Gifford Nielsen, Cruising with the Cougs, and we had that fun many times on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel.
After the break, BYU baseball picks up a solid win last night, plus two BYU athletes named Player of the Week, respectively. We'll tell you which athletes did that in headlines on BYUSN.
That was one of our favorite interviews this week. You're listening to the best of BYU Sports Nation. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio.
Two big names entered into the transfer portal. Welcome to college football and college sports free agency.
5 seasons at BYU taught me what I needed to know to play football at the next level.
You know how we do it, live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, that is Jerem Jordan, and in a moment you are about to see BYU football radio analyst and one of our favorite guys, former BYU football standout, Hans Olsen, is back on the show and just in time to talk NFL draft and more. Hans, how are you this fine morning?
I'm always as good as you guys are, so as long as you're good, I'm good, man. As long as my boys are happy, I'm happy, but life's good, man. Finally getting some sunshine. We got some spring ball under our belts. All kinds of drama to talk about in the world of sports. It's nonstop. But love being on with you guys.
There's no more off-season, especially for those of us that have a daily show. We love it. We're here for it. And the next topic just so happens to be the NFL draft. But I do want to start with some recent portaling guys for BYU. Hans, from your perspective, and you watched these guys closely last year, Keelan Marion and Harrison Taggart, they're both officially in the portal, seeking other programs and other opportunities. What do you make of those two departures, even though they're not official, but those two inevitable, we feel, departures from BYU football?
Well, first of all, it's heartbreaking, and I'm going to miss him because I really love Keelan Marion, and I think he's a spark plug. And I think he does so many great things. Harrison Taggart, I think he was serviceable, but I don't think that he's as good as some people may have thought he was. I think that there's probably as good of options, if not better options, in the room. And I know people are going to look at his tackles and his numbers, and they're pretty gaudy, and they look good. But a lot of those tackles are made 5-6 yards deep. He doesn't pound the block as much as he needs to pound the block. He doesn't attack as much as he needs to attack. And I think that there's some linebacking options that are as good and, like I said, if not better. Siali Asera is one guy that you've got to really watch. But when you've got Isaiah Glasker and Jack Kelly, you really don't need a world beater at that middle linebacker position. You need a guy that can fill gaps and a guy that's going to play his butt off. And I think that they, between Ace Kafusi and Siale and a couple of other guys, I think that you've got that in spades. And by the way, that's not an attack on Harrison Taggart, because I do like his game. It was, like I said, it was serviceable, but it could be played better. And as far as the receivers go, I think that there's already a logjam. I think that BYU's got so much talent with JoJo Phillips returning, some young talent. Chase Roberts will be back from his injury, his situation through spring, and he'll be ready to go. And I think your receivers are going to be held down. It's just the return game. It was so good, guys, last year. That return game was electric and impactful. So hopefully they can find something to take the place of Keelan Marion's return game.
Do you think you put Parker Kingston as the kick returner? Is that the natural next guy?
Yeah, I think Parker could do a great job. I would like to take a look at guys like, just to take a look at him, guys like Tay Nakua. I'd like to take a look at one of the twins.
Dom and Marcus.
The McKenzie twins. I want to take a look at Dom, potentially. As a returner, because I think Dom might take the next step as a great receiver. So excited to see those guys. They're pretty electric. But I think that there's going to be some return talent there. And, you know, you got to give it to Popinga. Those special teams were excellent last year. Well orchestrated, perfectly timed. You know, a lot of times I can spot it and call it out. And I couldn't hardly spot it and call it out. He hit those big special teams moments at awesome times and caught teams flat-footed.
Hans Olsen is with us on BYU Sports Nation. As I mentioned, the NFL draft starts tomorrow. Several reputable mock drafts have Tyler Batty, Caleb Etienne, both going later rounds. What do you think the prospects are of BYU having multiple draft picks led by Tyler Batty and Caleb Etienne in the 2025 NFL draft?
But I think Tyler Batty is definitely a draftable prospect with his 4.7 40 and his height and his weight. And I also think that he's got some duality. I think that he could be moldable. I could use him at a couple of different positions. If I don't feel like I'm getting enough production out of him at the edge, I can use him at D tackle. I can put weight on him. He's just a versatile athlete. So I've got a lot of options with Tyler Batty. So I think he's probably a fourth, more likely a fifth round draft pick. Caleb Etienne would be my next draftable athlete. He's made some noise and he's made some inroads. So watch for Caleb Etienne. I think that Jacob Robinson is a spectacular talent, potentially draftable, you know, but guys, it's so hard. You know, people forget how few are drafted and how tough it is. In Kalani Sitake's tenure, since he was hired in 2016, he's had 14 draft picks. It's just hard to be drafted. And, you know, we look at this talent, we're like, man, you got Braden Keim, who if he wasn't injured, maybe he could have done something great. Blake Mangelson is an amazing athlete, and he did so much across that defensive line. And John Nelson is great. Connor Pay, who was injured, but Connor's back, and he's going to be healthy and ready for camp. And you look at these guys, you're like, man, those are all draftable prospects, but it's just so hard to get drafted. So I think Tyler Batty, he's a sure thing. Caleb Etienne, maybe. Outside of that, you're probably looking at some free agency, unless guys take flyers on some individuals.
And we'll see the impact of these players, this roster from this 11-2 team the next couple of years. But what does it say about BYU that they can go 11-2 and they don't have a day one or day two guy?
That the coaching staff is good and that they maximize talent and that they've got they had a really good quarterback that was able to manage some really good offense. Yeah, there's definitely some things to read from that, but I think that this talent still, most of it's going to find camps. Like Darius Lassiter will find camp. Blake Mangelson will find a camp. John Nelson definitely find a camp. Connor, I know, is going to find a camp. So it's like, you know, we put a lot of weight into these seven rounds. We put a lot of weight into, it's 257 picks that go down in the NFL draft. So we put a lot of weight in that. We're like, oh, you got to be one of the 257. Well, I wasn't one of the 257. Chris Oak wasn't one of the 257. We made it. Chris made it for 11 years. I made it for 3 years. You don't have to be drafted to make it. And this talent put together that amazing season like you're just mentioning. And a lot of them are going to find a home on a roster, just probably not in the draft.
Hans Olsen, BYU football radio analyst, is on BYU Sports Nation, also a host for KSL Sports Zone. Hans, when you start to consider the players on BYU's team for the 2025 season and what they could do in the 2026 NFL draft, who is the most draftable BYU player in the 2026 rundown?
Well, I'm hoping that Chase Roberts has the season that I'm expecting to have. And I think Chase will be that guy. Outside of that, it's going to be probably Keanu Tanavasa, the defensive tackle that BYU just acquired from the University of Utah. Keanu is a very special talent, and he's had a lot of NFL attention. He's just got to play more than six games in a season, and he's got to show durability. He's got one of the best first steps you'll find of a D-tackle in the country. Not in the Big 12, but in the country. He is a unique, special talent. And when we're sitting here talking about Tyler Batty, you know, we got to go all the way back to 2016, the last time a defensive end was drafted out of BYU, and Bronson Kafusi. And we go back to 2021, the last time a defensive lineman was drafted was Kyrus Tonga. Kalani Sitake's had two defensive linemen drafted, essentially. I mean, you really can't count Bronson, but Bronson was drafted the year that Kalani started in. And you've had two defensive line drafted. That needs to improve. Kalani knows it. And I know that this front is working on it. And guys like Chad Kawahaha are making a big difference. Along with Sione Pua and along with Popinga and all those guys working together, they're making a big difference. And I think that Keanu is that guy that I would circle. I think that Chase Roberts could be a very draftable wide receiver, especially if he continues to make some of these talented catches. And guys, there's something that plays into this. You know, you got to see guys like Kyle Van Noy and Fred Warner and Sione Takitaki and Tyler Algier and Puka Nacua and Kyrus Tong. You got to see these guys having success. And when you got a guy like Puka Nacua that was taken in the fifth round, that is all the talk and all the hype for the NFL. Well, all of a sudden you got a spotlight on Fessy Sataki's wide receivers. Those things make a big difference. So if Puka is lightning rod and Chase goes out and he's having an incredible season, it brings attention to him, and it makes him a more interesting draftable prospect.
Hans, our question of the day is, which team is more likely to win a Big 12 championship next season, football or men's basketball? We've weighed in. What do you think?
I think it'll be football. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the challenge, the teams that they're going to be playing against. I've already got it circled, fellas. Big 12 championship
Let's
game.
Let's go.
Arizona State, BYU.
Wow.
I'm already rematch. Saving the date. Yeah, I'm already saving the date. I am fully expecting that to be the game and the matchup. And it's what I want. I'm bummed that BYU doesn't get to see Arizona State in the regular season. It just turns my stomach. I think that the Western region should play every team every year.
Agreed.
Yeah, and it drives me nuts. It should be Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, and Arizona. And it should be every single year. And I'm bummed that we won't get a chance to see Arizona State until that Big 12 championship game.
Hans, after BYU's spring football and having interviewed the players and talked with a lot of the staff, obviously you're confident in BYU's ability to replicate to a large degree what they did last season and even take it another step and get to a Big 12 title game. I guess my question for you is, why are you so confident that this BYU team can take the next step and essentially show the nation it wasn't just a flash in the pan?
Well, they've got an incredible running back duo with Sione Moa and LJ Martin. They've got a dynamic receiving core with guys like JoJo Phillips and Chase Roberts. They've got a returning quarterback that has a chip on his shoulder and a lot more to prove. And all I want to see him do, guys, is just get better in the two-minute offense or get better in high-tempo offense so Aaron Roderick can run some of that mismatched and mix-and-match tempo offense that he loves to run. And Retzlaff could be incredible if he's not throwing picks on some of those fades. So I think he's got room to improve, but I think he knows how to do that, how to improve. I think that BYU has found their match with their defensive line. I think that they have brought in some really good portal talent. I feel really good about their safety position, and I feel like it's a really solid team. The only thing that they've got to find is their offensive tackles. I think Jada can hold down one side, but they got to find the other bookend. And guys like Waylon Lapu'alo will hold down the interior. Sonny Maccasini and some of these guys, they're fantastic. So I just feel confident about the returning trench, and I feel good about some of your skill players. I feel really good about the quarterback that they've got returning, and it's all full of experience, and they know what they need to improve, and they've got the coaching staff to do it. And they've infused the money to do it. And you know what, guys? When you spend money on a roster, you place big expectations on a roster. So these guys have expectations that they've got to fulfill.
Hans Olsen bringing it on BYU Sports Nation. I guess with no offseason, really, for the Daily Show, Hans, when in the world do you take a vacation, brother?
Well, I feel bad, man. I wish that I was on that cruise with you guys, seeing all the pictures and... you talk about like that wasn't a vacation. You guys were pumping out videos every day. I mean, Spence, I saw you guys. It felt like, what were you doing here? 5-6 interviews every day?
Something like that.
we're here to work, Hans. You know the drill.
It's a work trip.
I heard McMahon kept you busy.
He might have been the only one to keep some people busy on the ship that others didn't partake in.
There were a few times that Gifford Nielsen had to tell Jim to read the room. Read the room, buddy. Read the room.
Well, I could tell you, if I end up on one of these cruises, I'll probably be in Jim McMahon's cabin. It'd be me and Jimmy Mac.
Oh,
probably tipping one side of the boat, man.
I love it. I love it. Let's get you on that panel with Jim McMahon. Hey, Hans, great to talk to you, man. We appreciate the time, brother.
Yeah, you guys are amazing. Thank you.
See you, Hans. Hey, if you miss any episodes of the program, our shows, Deep Blues, interviews, they're on BYUSN.com, the free BYU TV app as well.
Still on the way, where ESPN's Mel Kiper has BYU football players ranked on his latest NFL draft big board, and three BYU athletes earned some distinct big awards. We'll tell you who and what they did in headlines. This is BYUSN.
The best of BYU Sports Nation will be back after this on BYU Radio. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation continues from Studio B. Our question of the day is, what is your favorite Jimmer Fredette memory? At Playoff Bogey on X sends in this response. The win in the tournament versus Gonzaga. He was absolutely unstoppable in that game. It felt like the culmination of everything he did at BYU. It was so important to punctuate his career by taking BYU to a place that they hadn't been in 30 years.
And the pressure was on him even more because BYU didn't have its starting big man in Brandon Davies in that whole situation. So there was real pressure. He's dating Whitney Fredette. Her family's from Denver, the area. So that's fun. And then it's fun that we can connect this last season to that because Jimmer and Denver and BYU in Sweet 16, it happened again this last year, which was great. At Jackson underscore Zumwalt on X. Jimmer's the reason I love basketball today. Wow. I mimicked my jump shot after Jimmer, wanted to be Jimmer, loved following his career. My best memory, all of them. More specifically, the half-court shot against the team up north. That was pretty good, too. I really love both Arizona wins. Because remember, BYU didn't just beat Arizona in Tucson as junior, scoring 49. They beat them handily.
By 30.
In Provo. In Salt Lake. I sidelined that game. I remember how awesome that was. Arizona didn't know what to do with him. They had no clue. And it was fun just to see that whole year of just build, 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 build.
Yes.
And just have a bona fide superstar. A.J. DeBonta is the next iteration of just that guy at BYU. It was Ainge, it was Jimmer, and it's fun to know that, because we didn't know with Jimmer until 10, 15 games into a senior year, that he was that guy.
Sure.
He was preseason first team All-American, and he responded by being the national player of the year. A.J. DeBonta has a chance to be the national player of the year.
Maybe we should have known with Jimmer when he dropped 49 points at Arizona and a 31-point BYU road win in Tucson. Sorry, in Tucson.
Tucson.
Okay.
That's my low-key favorite game of his career.
We were talking about during the break.
My high-key, if you will, is the San Diego State home win.
I love when he says the Arizona fans didn't know what to do. He's like, they clapped for me. They stood up and clapped for me.
They didn't last year when BYU won.
Oh,
I know that.
They did something very different last year.
someone tweeted in the NCAA tournament when we were in Newark, when Tony Padilla was the ref of the Arizona game.
Oh, boy.
Tony, we remember!
Oh, yeah. Well, Tony came over to some Arizona media guys, and he was like, yeah, they won't let me referee any of your games because they're like, how come you're not doing the Arizona Duke game? He's like, they won't let me do another one of your games.
So he did BYU. So he did maybe BYU, Alabama before.
Yep.
We remember.
Oh, boy. Yeah. We remember the technical foul against Trevor Nell in that Alabama game, too. Come on.
I think Trevor Nell got that one, not Trevor.
It was Trevor.
Yeah, it was Trevor. His alter ego.
Andrew Smith on Instagram says, San Diego State in the Marriott Center, we had never seen anything like it.
It was palpable. We've had some great games, as I mentioned earlier, in the gym. Now in the Big 12, like it feels like, you know, Kansas, Arizona, you know, a bunch of the Baylor, yes. Like Wake Forest back in the day. That game was Gonzaga 2020 was the closest thing to that. It was real close to that.
If I had the superpower of time traveling, and that's the number one thing I would choose in life, if I could choose a superpower, I would travel back to that game just to experience.
Yeah, because you'd graduated. You were working in Palm Springs. Yes. Yeah, I was on the baseline shooting that, trying not to get a sore back. I was like, oh.
Trying not to cheer.
This camera's heavy. Yeah. Oh. Okay, if you missed any interview shows, D Blue's great conversation with Dave Rose earlier, in case you missed it, about how BYU found Jimmer. In fact, he said Jimmer found us. You can catch it on the BYUSN.com, the free BYU TV app.
We wrap up today's show, and an app-only show, with our elite voice of the day and our Rise and shout-out next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B, the actual Studio B.
There was a Studio B on the ship. We were very confused. Yes.
I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out your Monday headlines.
Wide receiver and kick return specialist Keelan Marion entered his name into the transfer portal Friday night. He led BYU in all-purpose yards, second leading receiver from a year ago. He was the first-team All-American kick return specialist as well. Two kick return TDs tied for most in FBS.
BYU linebacker Harrison Taggart. We've also discussed at length the impact of him entering his name into the transfer portal over the weekend. By the way, 3 minutes ago, he just doubled down and tweeted, "I'm officially in the transfer portal." So someone had reported it. Now it's coming from his actual account on X. Taggart, second on the team, with 69 tackles a year ago, behind only Isaiah Glasker's 70 tackles. 2.5 tackles for loss, 1 sack, and an interception as well for Jay Hill's defense.
Number 8 men's volleyball went 2-0 this weekend against number 7 Pepperdine at the Smith Fieldhouse. Wrapped up the regular season, winning in 5 and 4 sets. BYU's the 3 seed in the MPSF tournament. They await the winner of Stanford and Menlo in the quarterfinals Thursday night in Malibu.
BYU softball swept the series against Utah, won the final 2 games on Friday and Saturday. On Friday night, BYU scored 9 runs in the bottom of the 7th, capped by Ale Agbayani's 3-run walk-off home run to win 10-8. On Saturday, BYU winning 14-5. They had another 9-run inning in that game. The Cougars are 11-7 in Big 12 play. They are tied for 4th in conference. Saturday's win, Ilovea Brittingham broke BYU's freshman RBI record for a season with 62 RBIs on the season.
Baseball dropped the final 2 games of the series against number 22 Arizona, 5-4 on Friday night, 7-5 Saturday. BYU 6-12 in Big 12 play. Batcats back at it tonight at Utah Valley, 8 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
Some notable track and field highlights over the weekend. BYU signee Jane Hedengren shattered her own national high school 5K record at the Brian Clay Invitational with a time of 14 minutes, 57 seconds, 93 hundredths, becoming the first high school girl ever to go sub 15 minutes in the 5K.
Wow.
Sammy Oblad broke her own school record in the 400 meters with a time of 51.79 seconds, the 20th fastest time in the NCAA this season. And the men's 4x400 relay team of Eli Hazza, Josh Taylor, Jonah Haymooly, and Trey Jackson ran the second fastest time in program history, 3 minutes, 3 seconds, and 5 hundredths.
Amazing. 3 BYU runners finished in the top 7 of the Boston Marathon this morning. Congratulations. Connor Mance, 4th overall, 2 hours, 5 minutes, 8 seconds. Rory Linkletter from Canada, BYU guy, took 6th.
Let's go.
207.02. Clayton Young took 8th, so top 8, rather, with a time of 207.04. Congratulations. That was 7th. 3 in the top 7 of the Boston Marathon.
Come on.
Unbelievable.
Just BYU's 3 Olympians, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're 3 Olympians.
That's right.
Justin Sterner, as we get to Batcats in the bigs.
He's in my eldest quorum. He's my homie.
Pitched another scoreless inning for the A's. Not sure where they're attributed to right now. Just the A's.
They're just the Athletics. That's what they're calling themselves. Yeah.
5-3 loss to the Brewers, who are in Milwaukee. Have a location.
Nice.
Sterner has yet to give up a run in 10 and a third innings pitched this season. Let's go.
That's amazing.
Daniel Schneeman had his start at second base and went 1-for-2 with a double and a run scored for the Guardians and a 3-0 win over the Pirates on Saturday. It's good to have Batcats in the bigs.
By the way, Pete Nakos of On3 says Keelan Marion's hearing from Colorado, working the lineup a visit. Would we want him on the opposing sideline this year?
No.
No, I love
Keelan. Exactly. I love him so much. I don't want BYU to have to compete against him.
No. Although it would be a little fun, let's be honest. But no.
Would he join us on the show? To preview whatever matchup that would be. After the break, we spoke with BYU linebacker Ciale Acera during Cruising with the Cougs. This is before the Harrison Taggart news dropped, but he had some great things to say. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B, and it is time that we take you to one of the most exciting players, at least in my opinion, most exciting players for BYU and the prospect of what he can do in 2025. He is running back Sione Moa. Jeremy, I spoke with him during the cruise about what he accomplished during spring football and more.
Greetings from Ensenada, Mexico. BYU Sports Nation is on location.
Hola.
We are cruising with the Cougs. Your Spanish has gotten better, Jerem.
Sí, señor.
Hey, speaking of Spanish, we've got one of our good amigos here from BYU football. He is running back Sione Moa. Sione,
yeah.
Welcome to Ensenada.
Hola. Gracias.
De nada.
How has the cruise been thus far, a little more than a day in?
It's been fun. This is my first time I've been on a cruise, and so I think the experience has been just amazing so far. We walked around Ensenada for a little bit. It was a cool little experience, so it's been good just being here with all the fans and Kalani and some of my teammates too. So,
no motion sickness?
I've actually been feeling it just a little bit, but when I'm like sleeping, I'm just rocking back and forth. I can feel that. So that kind of puts me to sleep, so I'm good though. Nice. Yeah.
Sione, as you look back on spring football and all the hard work that goes into that before you got on the cruise, what are you most proud of that you accomplished in this 2025 spring edition of BYU football?
I think gaining more trust from the offensive side, especially A-Rod, Coach A-Rod. I think he's really not only trusted me more, but just the whole running back room more. I think personally, maybe that's selfish for me being a running back, but I think personally for me, I think that's our biggest accomplishment is that he's able to trust us a lot more, using us in different things and whatnot. And so, yeah.
I really enjoyed watching last fall. There was a bunch of times where I thought maybe you were dipped in butter or something. No one could tackle you. What was your favorite play from the season? Because I loved K-State. I love the Alamo Bowl. There were a lot of awesome moments, man.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, Kansas State was definitely like my first touchdown. I think it was a great way to score my first touchdown in college football. But personally, I think that Keelan Marion's kickoff return touchdown against Wyoming, that one, I don't know, I was high just because I was in that one. That was my favorite, and maybe Kansas State the game after kind of ranked above it. But, yeah, those two are definitely top for mine. So,
remind us how many blocks you set on that one.
I honestly missed like a couple blocks, but then I set the last block. I thought it was pretty fun. Nice. So
that's all we were going to remember.
Yeah.
So, well, listen, when we edit the video, we'll only show the block
the
that you got.
One, yeah.
We won't show anything you missed.
Yeah, you see me missing, and then I try to catch up with Keelan, but he's too fast. But yeah.
Sione, BYU football obviously accomplished a ton last year, 11-2, a remarkable season. So, and we've been asking this to a bunch of your teammates, what are you trying to prove this season coming off that 11-2 campaign?
We still got it, you know what I mean? I feel like people felt like we were falling off towards the end of last season. We still got it. We're probably going to be even better than last year. And so I think more so proving ourselves right than proving other people wrong is our goal. And so, yeah, I have high hopes, high expectations for us as a team. So it should be fun.
I don't know how much you can reveal about what BYU is going to maybe attempt to do with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick, but all we've heard about from Jake Retzlaff and the other quarterbacks, the receivers, is more running backs, more running backs, more running back sets.
We saw a little bit at the end of the year. Right?
Two-back sets, three-back sets. Yep. Like, what do you expect to be different about this season offensively for the running backs?
I think, like I mentioned before, him trusting us and utilizing us more and more run packages, even out of, like, passing out the backfield, like doing routes out the backfield, maybe even the slot position. I don't know, maybe we'll talk to him about that and stuff. But just him utilizing us wherever. I think that's built our confidence as a running back room, because during spring ball he's seen more like more of a better skill set, skill level. I'm not sure, but he sees something in us, and we love it. And so,
there are what, like six of you on the boat from the football team?
Yes.
How'd the six of you get the nod? Because this is awesome for you guys.
Yeah, I'm honestly not even sure. Like, they texted me and was like, "Hey, do you want to go on a cruise?" Like, for free? Yeah, you know what I mean. So now I'm here, and I'm having a great time so far. So.
How has your diet shifted from the end of spring ball to now on the cruise?
No, I think I've been in the buffet more than the weight room on the cruise, so that's bad. But that hopefully that'll change in the next 5 days. But every time I see Kalani, though, he's like, "Where are you going?" "Oh, I'm going to the fitness center." He walks away, and I just go to the buffet right there. So, all right, but.
Oh, that is hilarious.
We were talking about how you're from Victorville,
yes.
But you moved to Provo, went to Tiffy the last couple years, and then you went on your mission back to Victorville.
Yes.
What's part of your mission?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I grew up 13 years in Victorville, California, moved my junior and senior year of high school, and I graduated young. I had just turned 17, so I waited a year to go on my mission. Got called back to San Bernardino, California, Victorville, in our mission and everything.
That's
and
awesome.
So it was a crazy experience. Yeah.
Okay, as we close out, I'm going to paint a picture. Let's say your good friend Ciale Acera is leading the linebacker corps.
Okay. It just happens to be standing right
you
over.
You get a big hole from your offensive line. It's just you and Ciale. What happens next?
It's just me and Ciale in the hole? I don't want to say nothing because he's right here, but he knows what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
They don't know, but they're about to find out.
Yeah. Hey, what he said.
Hey, we appreciate the time. Yeah. Congratulations on getting through spring football. And good luck in the weight room and
the
at
weight
the buffet.
Room.
In the weight room. This one. This weight room.
No.
Thank you, guys.
Just hanging out next to Nando with Sione. That was great. He's great.
Hola.
Hola. Gracias.
Say hola to the BYU running back room right now. LJ Martin, obviously.
All right, Dora.
Huge part of that. Sione Moa, we believe, is going to play a much bigger role this year for Aaron Rodgers' offense. And then, I mean, Enoch Nawahine, Pokai Haonga, who is super athletic.
Okay, getting to know Pokai a little better on the ship. This dude's athletic. He's backflipping all over the place. Like, I think BYU has some options. You have LJ, who you know who LJ is. Like, good vision, good feet in the hole. Is he going to outrun you for a touchdown downfield? Probably not, but what he's going to do is move the chains consistently, and he's going to have good ball security. Sione Moa was really hard to tackle this year. Enoch Nawahine had a couple moments where he was big. SMU game. He helps win the SMU game. LJ, tough to tackle him near the end zone, too. Pokai Haonga is the wild card here of how he seems very quick, and what he can do. You have four guys that you're interested in there. It's a bummer to see Cale Breslin jump in the portal, who is a guy out of Vegas that BYU was excited about. We'll see what happens there. Again, we've had, what, four or five athletes jump back to BYU after being in the portal, so I don't rule all of them out unless we hear that they're leaving. So I'm excited about that room. I think that's a good room of some youth, some experience with LJ and Enoch, who are upperclassmen now, and so that's awesome, man.
I know Jake Retzloff is a confident, brash dude.
I want the quarterback to be that.
He certainly is that.
Yeah.
And he said to me, in fewer words, we have the deepest running backs room in the entire country. And I was like, whoa, okay, let's just explore that for a little bit. Why do you feel that way? And he pointed out to the fact that he's like, it doesn't matter who's behind me, if it's LJ, Sione, Enoch, Pokai, like, I feel like there's a number one back behind me at all times.
That's great.
I thought, wow, that's
not a big drop-off.
He said that they made significant progress in spring football. The running backs specifically teamed up behind a revamped offensive line. He said they surprised me. Maybe if there's a position group that took the biggest step forward in the spring collectively, it's probably the running backs.
That's great because the O-line's going to be a little new. You have a couple guys coming back, but some new faces there. How do they gel together? And then can the running backs burst through the holes that they make? Because if you only run for what is blocked, you're not going to score a lot of points, right? And those guys got to block for a lot. But, I'm excited about the group.
The best of BYU Sports Nation. We'll be right back. Rise and shout for the trending topics of the week. Here on the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Next on BYUSN, will he stay or will he go?
Nice.
That's the question regarding BYU's Richie Saunders and the approaching NBA draft. We'll discuss what decision we think he's going to make. His head coach, Kevin Young, adds another big-time transfer to the roster. Who is he, and what exactly does he bring to BYU's team next season?
I like those dunks. JT, Jonathan Tavernari, joins us to discuss Saunders' upcoming decision, BYU's recent signing, and Jimmer Fredette's retirement. And with round one of the NFL draft in the books, we'll call our shot on where we think Tyler Batty and Caleb Etienne will land this season. And did BYU contribute to Shedeur Sanders dropping?
Those are the important questions, Jerem. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, April 25th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who's ready to cook up some tots, Jerem Jordan.
Give me some of your tots, Spence.
Look, I will.
Look what I have here. I have the...
What?
Orida. Here, I'll show you. Here. The Orida Air Richie, number 15, Cook Like the King baking sheet. I think this is Hema Hemuli's, and I think it's already been used because you can see fingerprints in here. Some crispy, delicious tater tots will be cooked on this at some point. This is a tangible NIL deal, which is really fun for Richie.
All BYU fans can participate.
Yeah,
again and, I can and again and again.
Reflection. Yeah, cook pretty,
like
pretty
the
cool.
King. Let Richie cook.
Let him cook literally
or
in this
bake.
Baking sheet. Yes. Also, come back to BYU.
Dawson Baker needs to get
oh,
in on this.
Nice.
Come
look
on.
At look at the, did you see this? Look at this. We got all kinds of light issues going on here.
I love it.
Yeah, I'll just hold it right here.
Going. Like, yeah.
In the
can
year
you, can you give me some more light under my chin?
Do you remember that with Conan O'Brien in the year 2000?
Oh, yeah. Conan, yeah. Big fan of Studio C here at BYU TV.
Yeah, yeah, he likes it. I'm out. I'm out.
Jerem's just done.
I'll just take it over here. Gotta get it out of the way.
Come on back. All come right. on back, Jerem. Right.
We got stuff to talk about.
We got stuff
it's,
to
it's
yeah.
It's a loaded Friday. We got lots of loaded tots. Let's go.
In a way, we do. On that note.
We're not tethered.
Rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending. There's the big undecided question mark of Richie Saunders.
Yeah.
Go pro or stay in Provo?
I expect him to come back. He didn't jump in the portal, so he's not going elsewhere. So it's assuming Richie comes back. AJ and Kaba and Robert Wright III. People think that's a preseason top 10 team.
Let's double down on that phrase.
Yep.
Or question.
Yep.
Are you going pro or are you staying in Provo? That is the question for Richie Saunders. The NBA draft early entry deadline, by the way, is tomorrow, meaning Richie would have to enter his name by 11:59 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night to be eligible for the NBA draft to test the waters, as we so often hear about. If Richie enters his name, he has until June 15th to withdraw. Jerem, knowing that information, do you expect Richie Saunders to return to BYU or be an early entry for the NBA draft, or maybe a mix of both?
I wouldn't be surprised if he enters his name just to see what's out there. I don't think he's a first-round guy. I think he'd be a second-round or undrafted guy at this point. I think he could have the season he has again and probably be in a similar spot. I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't think that he can climb into the first round, personally. That's me. I know that Kevin Young and that staff will do their best to try and get him in that position. But because A.J. Dumas is going to be your number one option, so automatically Richie's kind of number two or maybe even number three with Robert Wright III. We'll see how that kind of plays itself out. None of that is negative, by the way. Richie Saunders, to me, is going to play in the NBA. Whether he somehow climbs into the first, is drafted in the second, or he's an undrafted
and
free
if it's
agent.
This year or next year, he's going right. to be on an NBA roster.
Yeah, he is going to be on an NBA roster. To me, it's not – that's the point, that he's in the NBA at some point. I do think he will eventually end up returning to BYU. Whether he says today or tomorrow, I'm back at BYU, let's do this, or I'm entering my name, and he'll have the intention of potentially coming back. I think he should – test the waters, unless he's received the feedback enough to where he goes, no, I'm just going to focus on this. But it might be good for next year just to be like, all right, I'm creating contacts. People are seeing me. I'm working out.
A head
people.
Start.
Does he even get the invite to the combine? He could work out for teams. But if he gets the invite to the combine, which would be great, then now he's really exposed in a good way there. He could also be exposed in a way where he knows what he needs to work on.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot. But honestly, like I'm not sure he's going to average more points per game next year with A.J. Dumas on the team. I think he could be as efficient as he was. It's hard to ask him to be more efficient. He was crazy efficient. He was like a 50% three-point shooter. He was amazing.
Can you shoot 60% from the three-point line?
Like, no. Like, what's the comp that Kevin Young gave him? Alex Caruso, who we saw come up massively big yesterday for the Thunder in their 29-point comeback after Ja Morant got hurt.
Huge defensive
plays. In the playoffs, yes. Defense, headband with way more hair, threes. Like, what the way that Richie plays is very, very suited for NBA role player. So I hope that he comes back. I think he will come back. I'll be surprised if he does not. But I'm not going to blame him for trying to get some exposure and some feedback. Like, why not? Yeah. Yet, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, I'm just back at BYU. Let's go.
I'm going to bring in our friends from BYU Athletic Marketing. Before they set up this whole cruising with the Cougs situation, they went and scouted the boat. Sorry.
They went on the trip.
They went on the actual trip.
Yeah.
The whole cruise to experience it. Talk through everything, see the staff.
Where can they put stuff up?
All of this was scouted out. Richie Saunders should do the same thing with his NBA prospects right now. Just go see it. Take a peek at it. And then decide when you're actually going to take that trip. But yeah, I think it's totally in a logical realm that he should go and do this, and I support it. Not that Kevin Young and staff can't give him an idea, but
they
why
can give
not?
Him a great idea.
Why not just go talk to a few other people? In fact, I'd be shocked if Kevin Young and the staff aren't encouraging Richie to open up those parameters.
Sure.
Supporting it, full-fledged. Obviously, they want him to come back and be a part of what we believe is going to be maybe the most special BYU basketball team in the history of the program next
maybe
season.
Ever, yeah.
Like, that's not hyperbole.
And I'm going to tell you this right now. I know that matters to Richie, the chance to be on a team like that, the chance to do something BYU's never done. That matters to him. He loves BYU. He wants that. I'll be shocked if he's not on that roster. I do want to bring this up, too. Eric Mika and Trent Playstead went out early after their sophomore and junior years, respectively. And Trent was a second-round guy, never played in an NBA game. Eric was undrafted. He played in one NBA game. If those guys were on the roster now, they would stay. Because NIL gives you a chance to be paid more than you would be as a second-round guy or as an undrafted free agent, even in the NBA, especially if you're a high-profile guy like Richie. So that changes his decision, too, potentially, of what does NIL mean for me? It means I can be paid competitively. Now, Yegor, if he's picked, let's say, 18th, you're making around $3 million.
Well, not only that, but like the Russian connection with him being the first potential lottery pick ever out of Russia, huge Russian companies are coming in and saying, we want to partner with you. Like, his deals as a professional are going to be enormous.
Yes, but as it pertains to the salary of playing in college versus the NBA, if you're like a late first rounder, and you're really good in college, that's about the same amount of dough for a lot of these high-end college guys. If you're Richie, no, you can make way more in college and at BYU. So I'm excited to hopefully hear that Richie's returning to BYU, whether that's this weekend. I'm not putting my name in if he says that. Or coming up in June. But I think BYU is intending. I would expect him to return. Because if he doesn't, now you have to go get a guy of his similar
ilk.
But I will be surprised if Richie is not on the roster next fall. That's just me speaking. I don't know anything specific.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if he's not part of this team. Decision. I will be shocked.
Yes, absolutely.
If Richie Saunders...
He understands what's possible here.
Gets the feedback from the NBA that's like, you have to enter the draft now, and he goes. That would shock me.
But for a non-first-round guy, it's just not that big a deal.
I'm with you. I don't think that's going to happen.
Unless he's like, no, my goal is to be drafted, period.
And I have heard several people say... Yeah, but he's old. Like, he's hurting his stock if he comes back to BYU. And I would offer the following retort. Coming from an NBA scout, Richie's already kind of entered the old zone. Like, whether it's this year or next year, he's already considered an older player.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't hurt his stock as much as people think. Now, what could hurt is if he comes back and doesn't play nearly as well as he did this year. Sure. But I believe that there's enough... Like film, tape, video, images.
Oh, he'll be a 40% three-point shooter, and he'll be a double-digit scorer.
I think that will be Robert Wright III and A.J. DeBonser are actually going to help Richie get a little bit more freedom in the offense.
Yeah, he'll have even more open shots.
Yes.
But for him to exceed his numbers from last year, though, they were amazing. I mean, Kevin Young, that's the challenge for Kevin Young and the staff, is how can we get you up a notch? They'll figure it out.
One thing we know is Richie has the work ethic to try and get better. We believe that he will do it and continue to ascend.
Yeah. Yeah. And what if his numbers are a little lower, but BYU's in the Elite Eight? That exposure goes away,
too. He will benefit from the added exposure that will be on BYU's team in general.
Every NBA GM will watch all the BYU games because they're watching AJ.
All right.
Dax Milne benefited from that with Zach Wilson.
So did everybody else on that team.
Who did Zach throw to? Who's that receiver?
Yes.
Who's that left tackle? Oh, Brady Christensen.
Our question of the day, we've answered it. Do you expect Richie Saunders to return to BYU for next season or be an early entry to the NBA draft? At Scani Coog on X says, I expect him to return. Outside of a first-round grade expectation, returning to college and NIL money makes more sense.
Yeah, just don't know exactly what Richie wants. Again, I don't act like I know every single intention of every athlete at BYU. They have to declare that themselves.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. He will be on an NBA roster whenever he decides to go. That's going to happen.
Kevin Young in BYU men's basketball announced the signing of Washington transfer Dominique Diamande. We've been waiting to say his name. 6'7" forward from Tours, France. He redshirted last year at Washington. Played for ADA Blois, U21 team in France 2 years ago. What will Diamande bring to BYU? We've been talking about him without saying his name. Now we can actually say his name.
Well, let's look at his highlights a little bit, shall we?
Like
also bring up the fact that he's 6'8", 190 pounds, international star. Jerome, another international big-time player for BYU. That length, that athleticism, and his ability to defend on the wing, play in multiple positions in Kevin Young's offense, he just brings so much versatility and more length and athleticism, which BYU needs. Who's going to replace a guy like Muit Magg?
Yeah.
Maybe Dominique Diamande plays that role to a degree.
Watch this one.
Oh,
and cut it off.
Oh, and cut it off.
What in the world is about to...
He is a high-level finisher at the rim. I believe that Kevin Young and his staff can develop him into a better three-level scorer, but already he's been exposed to high-level basketball in his backdrop. And so I just love that BYU's in these circles, and this is another avenue to bring in a guy who's going to be an immediate impact player. But I'm most excited about just his ability to defend and on the wing and also attack from different angles on offense. Like, he's a guy that can get his own shot in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, he had a second round kind of grade coming out of France, which is pretty good. Mid-year addition to Washington, ended up redshirting, got injured.
No one's going to block his shot like Cannon catches.
Right?
No one's going to block it.
3-and-D guy, super athletic, excited about his potential. Probably a really dynamic... Is this the play? Have we seen it? No. Yeah, something like that. He is going to probably come off the bench because he hasn't played in college quite yet and make an impact. And again, maybe he becomes a starter. That's what Muit Magg did. He started on the bench, became a starter. Very athletic, excited about what he can bring to the table.
Rim rocker!
And what did Kevin Young say when he got the job? Hey, I want to make this the best place for young men to prepare for the NBA. He also said, we got to get more athletic. This guy is very athletic.
Jerem, let's assess this from an NBA talent standpoint. If Richie Saunders comes back, is BYU going to have, four, five NBA players?
Prospects.
On the roster next season? A.J. DeBonsa, Robert Wright III, Richie Saunders, Dominique Diamande. This is wild.
And some of you may say, why not Kaba? He's just a little undersized. If Kaba was 6'10", he'd be an NBA player.
100%.
Yeah. He's 6'8". But he's super athletic, I know. Maybe he'll get a shot one day. We'll see. Yeah, it's one of the most... perhaps the most talented BYU team ever. Time will tell.
The 81 team had
three NBA, like tenured NBA guys and an all-star in Danny Ainge. So it's hard to argue against 81. You also look at 2011, there were three NBA guys on that roster too, eventually, with Jimmer, Brandon Davies, Kyle Collinsworth, who all played at least some games in the NBA. This, AJ by himself might make you the most talented roster ever. Like, if you have the number one
BYU
pick.
BYU could have three future draft all-star, maybe. Picks. Okay, so the difference between those teams you brought, like, 81, yes, they had draft picks, but there were more rounds.
I don't care about draft picks per se. Like, what's your sort of, how long did you play in the NBA? How effective were you? I would say that Fred Roberts, Greg Kite, and Danny Ainge, that's a pretty good trio.
Oh, they had fantastic NBA careers.
Can next year's team top that at some point? Like, if AJ is a five-time All-Star, doesn't he just single-handedly make that the most talented BYU team ever? in addition to what we hope is good stuff with Richie and Robert Wright III, and maybe Diamande is the guy that gets in
there. How many picks are there in the NBA draft? 60?
There's 60. 60 this picks. Year there's only 59, by the way.
It would be wild if BYU produced three of those 60 picks next season.
Offhand, I don't think that's ever happened in the first two rounds. BYU's never had two in the first round.
Ever.
They've never had back-to-back first-rounders. They're going to have that with Yegor and AJ. At a
new territory. New territory. Yep. Speaking of drafts, the NFL draft got underway last night in the first round.
Yeah.
Rounds 2 and 3 tonight. Rounds 4 through 7 take place all day Saturday. Let's call our shot on where BYU players will land this weekend, beginning with Tyler Batty. What round and team will he be drafted by?
This is so random. I have no... There's no rhyme or reason behind my decisions for these. It's just me trying to guess and hope that I'm close to the pin.
Do it!
Tyler Batty, 6th round, the Bears. Listen, for all these guys, I hope they're on the Seahawks.
Okay.
Then I'll be watching them every week.
Okay.
That's my pick. What's your pick?
Do you want to go to ETN too?
Sure. Okay. ETN, 5th round, Texans.
Okay. So you think Caleb's going to go before Tyler?
I do. I think he goes before Tyler, yeah.
All right.
That surprises some.
Okay, so I'm going to go. I hope you like this. Tyler Batty, late 5th round, number 175 overall to your Seattle Seahawks.
My dog.
Your Seahawks.
Come on.
Okay, 175 to the Seahawks.
Get him behind Leonard Williams. Let's go.
Late 5th round. Okay, as for Caleb Etienne, I'm going 6th round, number 208. 32nd pick of the 6th round.
I'd like you to be a little more specific.
Okay, to the Denver Broncos.
Oh, to the Broncos.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So those are, we're just random calling our shots.
And then if we get one of those four, we'll be like, yeah, I totally knew. Talked to all these scouts. They told me. No. Okay, how about undrafted free agents? How many do you think will land? I don't count mini camp, by the way.
So that's not including minicamp.
That's like, nope, he signed as an undrafted free agent. Minicamp is like, we didn't want to sign you, but just come try out.
Yes.
And probably not make it.
I would anticipate at least 4 other BYU players land undrafted free agent contracts, not minicamps. There will be others in minicamps.
Yeah.
But beginning with probably Jacob Robinson.
Yep.
I think he did
for sure
incredible work at the Big 12
numbers
Combine.
Numbers are too good. His film's too good.
Yes. Yep. Jacob Robinson will have multiple selections on where a lot of teams are going to be interested in. Where does he want to go? He'll get to choose that.
Does he somehow sneak into the 7th round?
I would love that. I would love it.
Because we were surprised when Chris Wilcox did, right? Like, oh, he ran a 4-3.
And it was Chris's speed that a lot of scouts pointed at.
So could Jacob sneak into the 7th?
With his 4-3 speed?
He has a lot of picks, dude.
But Chris Wilcox was a little longer, a little bigger.
Yeah. Jake, the con on Jake is just a little slight. But, like, he has contact courage. Just watch the film, right?
Put on 13 pounds of muscle.
Darius Lassiter, to me, screams high-priority undrafted free agent.
Yes.
Too long, too talented, too good.
And his family name matters.
Right? He has dad, brother, and NFL. Come on. John Nelson seems like an undrafted free agent guy. If he does, he'll get at least a minicamp.
Yeah.
If not a UDFA. And then Braden Keim.
Yeah. He's got the size.
If Braden Keim had been healthy after the Utah game, I think maybe he would have been a guy we talk about in the 6th or 7th round.
What if Connor Pay, too?
Connor Pay, as a freshman, was the highest-rated center freshman in the country. Will Connor Pay get in there? We just named 5 guys.
That's why I said at least 4.
I know. I'm with you on 4.
Could be 5.
4 is my number. I hope it's 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Mark Collins is another guy. I know, undersized cornerback, but super
like athletic. Mangelson feels like a guy that could be interesting in a minicamp or better. So best of luck to all those guys. I know that there's some good talent from BYU. Obviously, going 11-2 without like a first or second day guy is a credit to the staff.
Yeah.
We'd like to get in that space, though, again, where there's first round, second round, third round guys, right?
And listen, we understand there's a possibility that maybe Tyler Batty or Caleb Etienne goes undrafted. Like that.
Right. That possibility exists.
When you are slated 5th to 7th rounds, it's who knows?
Who knows, man?
It's a wild card.
Like Puka was a 5th rounder. What in the world? Puka?
But it would be, I don't care if they're the last 2 picks of the draft. Awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
I would love to see multiple BYU players taken.
It's important. When you ignore it, it means you don't prioritize it to me. Can't ignore it. Come on. Produce picks. Last but not least, Colorado quarterback Shador Sanders fell out of the 1st round last night. What role did BYU's Alamo Bowl performance play in that? Because I was very surprised he fell out of the first round. I think a lot of people were.
It's just like Lamar Jackson, right?
Yeah.
Just like, well, was Lamar Jackson the last pick of the first round?
He was late first, early second.
Or was he the first pick of the second round?
Yeah,
he was late first.
Late first.
It felt like a little bit like the Lamar Jackson
situation. Once the Steelers didn't pick him at 21, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Yes.
And Jackson Dart, your boy from Corner Canyon here, the third Utah quarterback.
Goes before Shadur.
Jim McMahon at a Wah. Zach Wilson, Corner Canyon, now Jackson Dart. The three first-rounders ever from the state of Utah.
Good for them. Yeah, good for Jackson. Incredible athlete. I was shocked that Jackson Dart was chosen before Shadur. Now, you asked me.
I was too.
If BYU's dominance in the Alamo Bowl played a role in that.
Did it expose something?
As much as BYU fans want to buy in on that idea, oh, Cougs keep on beating the Buffs.
We're good about making it about us.
We absolutely centering on what did BYU do to impact this.
Does it have to do with Brigham Young?
No.
No.
Listen, it's never good to have your final collegiate game be something like that.
Somewhere last night, Jay Hill smiled.
It didn't help Shadur Sanders, like the way he played against BYU and how confused BYU made him.
Made him look kind of silly.
Didn't help, but did that cause him to fall out of the first round? No, stop it.
All I know is it's kind of weird to have your jersey retired and then not be in the first round. Just saying. Just saying. BYU Sports Nation will be live from the BYU Fan Fest tomorrow in St. George's Sandtown Park for an hour-long show featuring interviews with Klein Stocky, Jake Retzloff, Chase Roberts, Isaiah Glashko, Jack Kelly, and more beginning at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, BYU sharpshooter Jonathan Tavernari.
Vamos lá!
In studio to discuss the Richie Saunders pending decision, what Dominic Diamante and Robert Wright III bring to BYU, and Jimmer Fredette's retirement. Stay with us.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio.
The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation on Jimmer Fredette Legacy Day. Or something like that.
I'm way more sad about it than I thought I would be. Just what a basketball life.
Yes.
It's been so fun to watch him play for so long.
No, we are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan here. And joining us now over Zoom is Jimmer Fredette's head coach at BYU. The legend Dave Rose is with us. Coach Rose.
What's up, Dave?
One, it was great to be with you cruising with the Cougs, and it's also great to have you back with us on BYU Sports Nation.
Yeah, that was fun. We had a good time, and actually got to spend quite a bit of time with Jimmer while we were there. But it was nothing was as fun as obviously spending time with you two. I mean, you guys.
There's not an ounce of sarcasm in your voice, too, which I really appreciate, Dave. I didn't think I'd be as sort of sad or nostalgic as I thought I would be with this news. I kind of felt like Jimmer was done after the Olympics, but he waited a little bit. Didn't happen to tell us on the cruise this was coming. But what a career. So take us back to when you first heard about this kid. And was it BYU sports camps that he first kind of showed up to on campus?
Yeah, that's actually the whole story. I've made up a lot of different the years, but the actual true factual story is that I had one of my assistant coaches tell me, hey, we got a kid here in camp that is a pretty good shooter. You ought to come watch him play. And then during the evenings, we had the way our camp was structured is that we would have 5-on-5 games. And so I went over to Smith Fieldhouse and actually watched him play on one of the auxiliary courts, and I watched him every game the rest of the camp. I mean, he was pretty impressive. And then we went on and watched him every open period, but we could, until he actually decided he wanted to come to BYU.
How old was he when you first saw him play?
He was just finished his freshman year. So he was going into his sophomore year, and what wasn't really impressive was where he played. I mean, he played in Glens Falls, New York, in a really small school, a really small gym. But how he played was pretty impressive. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you guys know, but a few years later, we had another kid come out of the same school, play at Syracuse, was a heck of a player. And, you know, so that little gym has produced some pretty good scoring collegiate professional players.
Dave, what do you remember about recruiting Jimmer and going to football games, for crying out loud? Because a lot of people don't remember that he was a wide receiver on the Glens Falls High School football team.
Yeah, and, you know, what I remember, I tell this story all the time when I'm with Jimmer, is that we went out. When I went out there, it was raining. It rained all day. They said, oh, it'll clear up. The game, it won't be raining during the game. We'll get to the game. It's pouring during the game, and I'm sitting in the stands, and one of the guys came and got me and let me come in the little press box that they had, and so I stood in the press box and kind of watched down on the field. But what I remember most is at the end of the game, going in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, you could really tell where Jimmer was, because all the other, you know, 21 players on the field, their uniforms were dirty and muddy and messed up. Jimmer's was still completely white.
Get in there, Jimmer, make a tackle.
So yeah, that's my right there. Yeah, because of what when he decided to play football his senior year, everybody was just worried about one thing: is not getting hurt, you know, and get himself into where he's ready for a senior year in basketball. But that was a pretty fun day at the Glens, a night at the Glens Falls Field, watching him play football. That's for sure.
How did you keep him sort of hidden? Because here is this dude from a small school, and maybe that's how. He's not super recruited. I think Utah had some interest. Siena was kind of nearby, and that was kind of it. How did you find this diamond in the rough?
Well, I could give you all kinds of, you know, great stories, but really he found us. You know, when he came to that, our BYU camp, we've recruited over the years that I was there, we recruited a few kids out of our camp, and we had some kids that we were really involved with, and we invited them to our camp and they came. But this one, he just actually showed up. I have to give Al Ferdet, his dad, all the credit, because Al was the one who signed him up for his kind of his summer schedule, and he decided that they were going to spend the first week of the summer out at BYU in our camp, and the rest of the summer we spent following him around, and the next three summers basically falling all around the country. I saw him play in about six or seven different states, and spent a lot of time on the plane getting to where he was playing those days, because a lot of the guys we played recruit on the West Coast, I saw him play in Phoenix, L.A., and I saw him play in Vegas, but Jimmer was playing in Miami, in Orlando, in Florida. I mean, I was at a camp out in Pittsburgh watching him, so the five-star camp. I mean, it was a different recruiting process for us, but we were fortunate we got him.
The legendary BYU basketball coach Dave Rose is on BYU Sports Nation. We've been discussing the legacy that Jimmer Ferdet will leave behind. I know this is a loaded question, but when we're talking about legacies and Jimmer, what do you feel like that centers on, Dave?
Well, you know, as you get older and you get away from the game a little bit, you know, you kind of prioritize different things. But, you know, trying to remember when I was right in the middle of coaching and trying to find players and trying to win championships and, you know, qualify for the NCAA tournament and move on. And I mean, what that part of Jimmer, I think, is what everybody, the questions I get, you know, what was he like? And he was as fierce of a competitor as I think, you know, it's hard to name the best competitor. But what he was really good at is that he could really, really compete. He was really talented, but he was such a team guy. And, you know, how do you describe a team guy when this dude took more shots than everybody, from the more shots than three or four combined? But he, you know, if you saw him, you know, at team meals, he was always with another player, sitting with another player. I mean, it wasn't the same guy. He was a team guy, and that's what I'll always remember about Jimmer is that how engaging he was with everybody, and how Noah Hartsock and, you know, Charles Abuo, I mean, all the guys, Jackson Emery and Brandon, everybody just loved to be around him. And that's not always the case with your leading scorer, and especially a guy that had so much attention that he had.
Dave, when did you realize that his usage rate needed to be higher, that you needed to put the ball in his hands and that he would make plays to the tune of being the National Player of the Year?
Well, he told me that after. And usage rate, I don't think was a word back in those days. But what he told me was that he was coming back for his sophomore year, and that he was, because, I mean, he didn't start a game his freshman year, and he wasn't happy about that, and his mom wasn't happy about that, and I'm sure his dad wasn't happy about that. But when he came to say that he was going to work all summer and was going to put so much time in, that there is no way that you couldn't play me as your point guard. And that was kind of the before the summer speech that Jimmer gave me, because I was still trying to figure out if he was a better shooter than he was an actual, you know, true point guard distributor, and figure out where the best place is to play him. And so he just told me, he said, I'm going to prove to you that I can score and I can be your point guard. And I'll say that, yeah, he did that. That was a good job for him. Yep.
First team all conference that sophomore year too. People forget, before the senior year. He was awesome. Yeah.
Dave Rose is on BYU Sports Nation. Dave, was there an individual moment or like an aha scenario for you when you first realized, holy cow, this dude is different and could potentially take us to great places? Was there like a light switch that got flipped at some point?
Well, you know, I mean, after his sophomore year, anytime you get a first team all league player that's returning the next year, and especially when he's returning as a junior, I mean, you know, you've got, you know, a special player. You don't know exactly what you've got, but you know, you've got a special player. And so after that sophomore year, I mean, we knew he was a pretty good player. And his junior year, I just was so impressed on how he worked at his craft. I mean, he just spent hours and hours and hours in the gym, in the Smithfield House. And, you know, Tyler Hawes gets a lot of the credit for us being able to actually build that practice facility. But Jimmer, he was trying to find a gym, you know, before Tyler, and trying to find him places to work out during the summertime was such a priority for our staff. And it became a real, everyday, chore for us to try to find it. And between, you know, those guys, I mean, we had about six or seven guys in a 4-year period that really finally convinced our administration that we needed to have a separate practice facility so our guys could practice all day, all night, all year round. And, Jimmer was the start of that. But I would say to answer that question, that for me personally, I figured we've got a national star that, is going to, you know, really have an amazing impact on the entire basketball world, was probably midway through his senior year. It might have been the Utah game. It's so hard for our guys to really play at the highest level, their very best, in the Utah game at Utah. And when he did that at their place on their court, I think he had 30 some odd points in the first half and ended on a half court shot. I just said, wow, this is not like anybody I've coached. And and then it just went on from there. Those January, February and March, those 3 months, he was probably about as good as anybody I've ever seen play the game.
Here's the half court shot. It was 32 for number 32 in the first half, which is amazing. BYU requires a 15-year minimum before it. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
He just kind of shrugs his shoulder after he makes it.
What?
And looks around and yeah, like there
it was,
you go.
It was so
what am
good.
I gonna do about it?
It was so good. Yeah. BYU requires 15 years before they retire jersey. You got to be a first-team All-American. You got to contribute, all these things, da, da, da. Jimmer Fredette's going to have number 32 up in the rafters at some point. Maybe it's in 2026 when it's been 15 years. What's that going to be like to have his name up there with some of the greats? Because surely he is one of the greatest players ever in any sport at BYU.
Well, I'll be really excited for him because I know how much that means to him. I just know that, you know, we put a lot of faith in him when we signed him and brought him in, but he put a lot of faith in us. And I think he's really proud of the fact that he picked one school and he put all his effort in and he had reasons to not really, you know, be really happy with how it was going and could have left, but he stayed with it and it turned out to be probably as good as it would have been if he went anywhere in the country. And I think that, you know, when the day comes that he's put in to the Hall of Fame, the BYU, I think that will be really, really special for him and especially for his wife. I mean, Whitney and Jimmer are kind of a BYU icons. It was fun to watch him on the ship. I mean, it was fun for me to watch him because they all bugged him and they didn't bug me.
Well said.
I will tell you this, that, you know, Jimmer's got a really bright future in front of him. It won't be as a player, but I'm so excited for the two of them. I think Whitney and Jimmer are great ambassadors for BYU and, you know, and for our athletic department. I just think that it's terrific, the future ahead of them. And we're celebrating this past today, but he's not done. He's got a lot of things he still wants to accomplish, that's for sure.
The great Dave Rose is on BYU Sports Nation. All right, Dave, as we finish up, and I know that you've shared some very personal and close things with Jimmer in your own conversations, but what is it that you want BYU fans to know as it pertains to your feelings about Jimmer Fredette, the human being?
Well, he is such a special kid. I mean, and when you take the group of guys, I mean, Charles Abuo and Jackson Emery and Noah Hartsock and, you know, the Brandon Davies, I mean, that was such – Logan Magnuson is one of my favorite all-time guys, and most BYU fans may not even remember that name. But, I mean, that was that team itself was so special. But Jimmer he just had a way of making everybody feel like they were the most important guy in the room. And he still does that today. I mean, you watched him on the boat the other day, you know, doing camps up on the top deck, and he's meeting people every 5 minutes that he's never met. The parents know him, and the parents are trying to explain to the kids how great he is. And the kid's kind of looking around, oh, who's this guy? He's a little short dude, you know, but he spends so much time and personalizes everything with that relationship. And I remember so many times the team would come to me in the year, late in the year, late January through February, they would say, hey, we have got to get in the hotel a different way. I'm not going through that hotel. All those people bugging me because they want to bug Jimmer, and we got to figure it out. And so we'd find ways to get in the back and get our keys and everything and get through. But Jimmer would still find his way to the front lobby and take care of those fans, because that's who he is. And that's what I'll remember the most, is just how appreciative he was for those fans cheering for him. But then how he took care of you know, the attention that he was given. Yeah,
Dave, we love and appreciate you, and thank you for spending some time with us today to look back on Jimmer's career. And we hope that you and Cheryl are doing well, and can't wait to talk hoops and BYU again, and hopefully get on a boat, or sorry, a ship with you again.
Yeah, I'm happy for you guys, because, you know, April 24th, April 25th, there's not a lot going on, and you just got something big when Jimmer decided to, you know,
it helps.
when he sent it out, what was it, a tweet or a text or whatever he sent out yesterday, I think we were all kind of surprised. But I do know when he hurt himself in the Olympics, he was so down and he was so sad. He had such a great run, a 2-year run in that 3-on-3, and as the best player in you know, the 3-on-3, and then he gets to the Olympics and it doesn't work out for him. But like I said, he's had so much to celebrate, and I think we'll continue to do so in his career.
So many great things discussed on this program today. Dave, we appreciate the time.
Thanks,
we'll talk
Dave.
To you again soon.
We'll be right back with more of the best of BYU Sports Nation. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Tell us your favorite Jim or Fredette memory as we welcome you back to BYU Sports Nation. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Entered from @22KaiGuy on X, who says, the fact that the world is still celebrating Jimmer 15 years after Jimmer Mania. Loved every second, Jimmer. Thank you.
And he did things after BYU and certainly wanted a better NBA career, but he played all over in China in the 72 or 73 points in
he
the Olympics.
70 like plus he, three times.
Like he had a great career after, but like I think the most iconic thing from him is deep threes from BYU. People will always remember that.
Who scores 70 plus in three games? Today's Rising Shout
Man.
Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
To Jimmer and the graduating class of 2025, commencement going on as we speak in the Merit Center. Congrats.
Well done. Sorry to who, Jerem, again?
Dennis Bitter. Ran out of time.
But our thanks to Dave Rose and for him spending so much time with this. For Jerem, I am Spencer. Final shout out to Jacob Hartsock. See you tomorrow. Go Cougs.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Back in Studio B, this is BYU Sports Nation. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. It is commencement day. Congratulations to all of the BYU graduates.
Yeah, give it up.
Well done.
Let's go.
You nice, did it.
Nice work.
You did it. Not easy. It is not easy.
Yeah, it's pretty easy for me. Just kidding.
Okay.
I'm just joking. I almost got sent out of here academically. Not even close to easy.
Oh, Jerem did excel in his broadcast classes, and that takes us into today's headlines.
School got in the way of my education. Jim Fredette announced he's retiring from playing basketball via social media yesterday. 2011 Naismith National Player of the Year at BYU, Sweet 16 senior year, 28.9 points per game, led the country in scoring. Number 10 pick to the Kings, played part of six seasons of the NBA for the Kings, Knicks, Bulls, Pelicans, and Suns. Was on the Spurs a little bit, too. Played professionally in China and Greece, winning the MVP in China in 2017. Most recently, helped Team USA qualify for the Paris Olympics in 3-on-3. Unfortunately, tore his groin there. And what a career from Jimmer. He'll join us next week to talk about it.
He was the number one 3x3 player in the entire world.
Not bad, man.
It is NFL Draft Day. First round of the 2025 draft starts tonight. I love the opening round in primetime.
See!
The seven-round draft continues through Saturday. BYU's Tyler Batty and Caleb Etienne have both been featured in multiple notable mock drafts as late-round picks. We'll see what happens. In other football news, BYU defensive tackle Josh Singh has entered the portal as of yesterday. He's the fourth defensive tackle to enter the portal this spring from BYU.
Three-seed men's volleyball plays six-seed Stanford in the MPSF quarterfinals tonight at host Pepperdine. Cougars won both meetings this season, 3 and 4 sets respectively. BYU wins tonight. They'll play two-seed USC on Friday.
Come on!
Tonight's match begins at 11 Eastern, late one on Big Ten Plus.
BYU softball trending to make the NCAA tournament for the first time in three seasons.
Yeah.
They open a three-game series at Baylor tonight. First time they've ever played in Waco. The Cougars 11-7 in the Big 12, tied for fourth. Riding a season-high five-game win streak. Tonight's series opener, starts at 7:30 Eastern. Watch it live on ESPN+.
Baseball hits the road for a three-game series beginning tonight at Arizona State. They're 4-2 in Big 12 series openers, so they're good in game one. First pitch, 9:30 Eastern on BYU Radio, ESPN+.
Lexi Halliday-Lowry is back at it from BYU Women's Track and Field, named the Big 12 Athlete of the Week. Halliday-Lowry set the BYU all-time mark in the 5K, with a time of 14 minutes, 52 seconds, and 93 hundredths, the second fastest in the NCAA this season, and third fastest time in NCAA history.
Feels like we have one of these notes from track and field every week.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's crazy. Through the first three rounds of the Big 12 Championships, BYU Men's Golf, in 12th place overall, Zach Jones leads BYU after day two. He's tied for 10th, four over. Finished strong yesterday, four birdies on the back nine. BYU teed off earlier this morning in the final round, shooting two over par. Sit currently in 12th place. Come on, boys.
Let's go, gents.
Climb the leaderboard.
And women's golf selected to compete as a number 9 seed in the NCAA Charlottesville Regional from May 5th through the 7th. Well done to the women. This is the 28th time in program history BYU has been selected for NCAA regionals and the first time since 2023.
Very nice.
After the break, what is your favorite Jimmer Fredette memory? More responses to our question of the day still on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar Sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. I should clarify, it's convocation day, not commencement day.
It's all good, dude. We were broadcast journalism majors. It's...
People are walking across the stage and getting their degrees.
Yeah.
And we are going to roll out your headlines now.
Kevin Young in BYU men's basketball announced signing of Washington transfer Dominique Diomande, a 6'7 forward from Tours, France, redshirted last year at Washington. Before that, he was on the U21 team in ADA Blois in France. 16 points a game, 6 rebounds, shot 52% from the field. Of note, the NBA draft early entry deadline is tomorrow night, 11:59 Eastern, meaning King Richie Saunders of Tater Tot Airdom would have to enter his name by tomorrow night to be eligible for the draft.
Long live the king!
He could then come back if he wants to. We'll see.
After last night's first round, the NFL draft continues with rounds 2 through 7 tonight and tomorrow in Green Bay. Yeah. BYU's Tyler Batty and Caleb Etienne are the Cougars most likely to be drafted and have been featured in multiple prominent mock drafts slated around the 5th to 7th rounds. Caleb Etienne, by the way, will join the show on Monday to recap the weekend.
3-seed men's volleyball fell to 6-seed Stanford in 5 sets, 15-10 last night in the MPSF quarterfinals at Pepperdine. With the loss, BYU season ends at 19-10. Cougars won't get one of the two at-large bids to the 9-team NCAA tournament.
BYU softball dropped their series opener in Waco, 2-0 at Baylor last night. Cougars held to just 2 hits overall in that loss. Now BYU looks to win the final 2 games and take the series, beginning with game 2 of a 3-game set, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
Baseball lost 8-3 in game 1 of a 3-game set against Arizona State last night in Tempe. BYU jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the first, outscored 8-1 the rest of the game. Game 2 tonight, 9:30 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
BYU men's golf finishing in 9th place at the Big 12 Championships yesterday in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They rallied to get there. They entered the final round in 12th place, climbing 3 spots. After shooting 1 under par combined as a team in the final round, Zach Jones, BYU's best finisher, 11th place overall individually.
Number 13 men's track and field and number 13 women's track and field both split competing at two different meets this weekend, Utah State and at Stanford.
Former BYU golfer Zach Blair and Patrick Fishburne teamed up for the PGA Tour Zurich Classic in New Orleans. Blair and Fishburne, one of 80 teams of 2 players together in the event. After round 1, Blair and Fishburne tied for 61st overall.
And former Cougar All-American rugby players of BYU, Matt Jensen, Paul Asike, and Cole Simu are in the lineup for the Utah Warriors tomorrow night against the Chicago Hounds at 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
After the break, it's our final Cruisin' with the Cougs interview.
And oh, what a run we had.
Former all-time leading rusher Jamal Willis. Looks great in that BYU uniform at Notre Dame. This is BYU Sports Nation.
That wraps up the best of BYU Sports Nation this week. Tune in next Saturday for the Cougar news you need to hear. And catch the BYU Sports Nation simulcast every day at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on BYU TV and BYU Radio.